You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to FanRag Fantasy Baseball. I am your host, Al Melchior, and I'm going to be joined today by one of my FanRag analyst colleagues, Greg Jewett. And you can follow Greg on Twitter at G Jewett, G-J-E-W-E-T-T, 9, number 9. Great follow, great analyst, and be sure to check out his stuff at FanRag. So we're just going to go right to Greg right away because we have some actual trade news to talk about today. So, Greg, welcome very much to the show.
Thanks, Al.
So let's dig right in here. Brandon Phillips, I mean, I think this is hardly a surprise that Brandon Phillips has been traded, but then again, we've been waiting a long time for it, so I think we've had some uncertainty about where he'd be playing, maybe how much he'd be playing this season. Going to the Braves, so he'll be the Braves' second baseman, and in return, the Reds get a couple of pitchers, not really prospect pitchers, but one sort of a familiar name, Andrew McCurahan, who was briefly with the Marlins, came to them, I think, as a Rule 5 player. And then also Carlos Portuondo. So he's a 29-year-old. I don't think either of these players that are ones we're going to be really looking at in fantasy, but there's a lot of fallout here. And maybe start with Phillips himself. Now, Greg, in our rankings, our second base rankings for FanRag, you had him ranked 28th, so you were underwhelmed by his prospects for this year, but me even less so. He didn't even crack my top 30. He was number 31, just behind Colton Wong and just ahead of Jorge Polanco. And yet, last year, Phillips was the top 15 Roto second baseman, so I suppose I could talk about my reasons for overlooking him, but I guess, does this change anything for you, Greg? And what was your thinking about Phillips when we did the rankings?
I was just looking at the trends from the last couple of years. I mean, he's kept himself relevant the last two seasons with the stolen bases. But he's benefited from inflated BABIP. He's been at 315, 312 the last 2 years to keep his average in the 290s. I don't know. None of us know how the Atlanta ballpark's going to play. All the stuff on Twitter suggests that he's probably going to bat six, and this leaves Dansby Swanson in the two-hole with the Braves. And this opens up, obviously, a playing opportunity for Jose Peraza and possibly Dilson Herrera if the Reds can move Zach Cozart as well.
Right, and Cozart in a very similar situation. In fact, the Reds were fairly close to trading Cozart to the Mariners last year. So it wouldn't be much of a surprise to see him go in the coming weeks, maybe even the coming days. So I do think we need to take a look at both Jose Peraza and Dilson Herrera for the coming year. But does this change anything for you in terms of how you're going to rank or target Phillips on draft day?
I think Phillips is kind of like a guy you don't go into a draft to target, but if you kind of let second base sink as far as targeting, which is not a bad idea this year, I don't think you're hating getting Brandon Phillips, but I also think this is going to take away some of his RBIs. You know, moving down to six with Atlanta is a lot different than hitting fourth at times with the Reds. So this kind of lowers his value, I think, a little bit more. Plus, you add in the fact that they're grooming Ozzie Albies to take his spot eventually. So he did keep his no trade clause as a part of the deal, so he still controls where he can end up later in the year. But I have a hard time believing he's going to play full-time all the year at Atlanta with the way they're trying to get the youth movement going.
Greg, I do agree with all that, and I think that this is probably, not that we were overwhelmed with him to start with, but I think this is a downward move in fantasy value for Brandon Phillips. But it's a little bit confusing to me because I look at my own rankings, and I left him off the top 30. But last year, this is somebody who had more roto value than Starlin Castro, who's somebody that we all ranked in the 20s. I have him, Castro, 26th. You had him 24th. So again, not somebody we're ranking that highly. But again, Castro is somebody that actually didn't perform as well from a roto perspective as Phillips did. I'm not sure that I'm as much of a downer on Phillips' batting average, but I am concerned about him not only losing value because of ultimately being replaced by Ozzie Albies, but because, and you mentioned the stolen bases, only 14 for 22 last year, Phillips in stolen bases, but he's rebounded from bad ratios before, success ratios with stolen bases. He's also rebounded late in his career with stolen base totals. So I almost wonder if we do ignore his potential contribution to steals at our own risk.
It's possible. Plus, we don't know how aggressive he's going to be lower in the lineup, but it'll all come out in the wash. Like I said, it's like you don't get excited when you draft Phillips, but at the same token, he probably doesn't kill you either.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would agree. Definitely wouldn't be excited. And just to give some idea, I mentioned I have him behind Colton Wong, and I would still keep him there. Josh Harrison, Brandon Drury, Jadurko, Starlin Castro, who I just mentioned before. Those are all players that I have ranked ahead of Phillips. And even without the trade, I would have felt good about that, in spite of the fact, again, that Phillips ranked relatively high among second base and roto value last year. But let's go ahead and move on to some of the players whose value also changes as a result of this. Jose Peraza, what do you expect from him, and does this change your expectations at all?
Well, it gives him a clear path to playing time, which is something that's been hotly debated on Fangraphs and stuff. People are suggesting that Peraza is being overdrafted at his present ADP due to the fact that he was blocked by Phillips, but this definitely gives him a chance. It's going to be interesting to see with Peraza, just with the small sample size last year, his OBP shot up to 352, which was 30 points higher than his OBP at AAA. Usually players see regression when they move up, not positive or an increase of that much. So it'll also be interesting to see where Peraza will hit. I mean, if they do move Cozart, he could slot in two, and you'll have two very fast people in Hamilton and Peraza hitting in front of Joey Votto. So that could be unique. But last year, that 361 BABIP and the 21 hard contact rate with that 27% line drive percentage, I'm a little wary he can carry that through a whole season. So for those targeting stolen bases, though, his stock's going to go up. So the ADP he's at right now, about 120 or so, is probably going to shoot up, I would say, at least 10 spots this week.
Probably, and I think I can probably rule out the possibility that I'm going to have Jose Peraza on any teams this year then, if that's the price it's going to take. And for many of the reasons that you mentioned, the one that really stands out for me is that hard contact rate from last season of 21%. I don't buy the high line drive rate being sustained over this season. So, you know, I think it'd be easy to look at the 361 BABIP overall that Peraza put up last season and have some mild skepticism, but say, well, this is a speedy guy who's going to get a lot of infield hits. Maybe he'll be a 340 BABIP guy and he'll still help you a lot in batting average. I don't think so. I would be actually very surprised if he hit even 280 this year. And so then you're really counting on the steals. And this is also somebody who's been pretty consistently inefficient as a base stealer. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know that there's enough there for him to really produce. You know, in our second base preview, I wrote something about D. Gordon and his lack of hard contact coming back from the suspension last year and how that worried me. But the one thing I know that Gordon will produce are the steals because he's an efficient base stealer. So I'm just not going to give Peraza the same somewhat limited benefit of the doubt that I would give D. Gordon.
So, I agree with you there, Al. It's going to be hard for him to. He has to steal 35 to 40 bases to justify where he's being drafted right now.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, and I have some real doubts about Peraza's ability to do that. So let's go to the other part of the double play combination, or at least potential part, assuming again that Zach Cozart does get traded at some point before opening day. Dilson Herrera. Probably then taking over for him. And do you like Herrera's chances any better to contribute in mixed leagues?
I think he has a much better chance now. And again, this hinges upon Cozart, but I think the Reds, as their beat writer C. Trent Rosenkrantz suggested, that the Reds are kind of going to just sift through the market and see what happens and hope possibly that another team shortstop gets hurt and then they need Zach Cozart. But it doesn't make sense for the Reds with the direction they're heading to carry to carry Cozart through the season so they could ship Peraza to shortstop and then Herrera at second.